What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Alrighty, so I know this is a favorite subject for Good Morning BT. Tipping. Now, I'm not saying I've covered this topic before, but I covered this topic before. very in-depth. Years ago. As one who worked in the service industry, and I got tips. I was mainly back of house in the restaurants and such. And then I did a stint as a front of house. So if you are not from the restaurant industry, the biz, back of house is the cooks and the dishwashers, everybody that's you don't see. Well, you used to not see them unless you went to like one of those hibachi grill places, right? They used to keep us all in the back. They never wanted to see people. The diners never wanted to see the cooks and stuff, but nowadays, they move the kitchen. They've started like opening the kitchens up and everybody can see the people cooking and hear them yelling at each other and cussing and stuff. Anyway, as one who received tips, worked for tips, I also did a stint as a valet, car parker valet, right? I did that for a summer, relied heavily on tips, mainly actually on tips. I know the value of tipping. And I am an over-tipper. Like, I walk in the door, and you're guaranteed a minimum of 20%, right, unless you've done something obvious to my food, right? Even service that isn't great, because I can look around a restaurant, and I can know, hey, they're slammed. I'll look around and say, oh, this is their section. I can tell which table somebody is running. Oh, there's a massive table. They just got seated right before us, which means we're screwed. Right. If you ever go to a restaurant, watch where your server goes. And if they hit a couple of tables and there's only like two other tables besides you and they're hitting all three, then you should expect more service, more visits to the table and that sort of stuff. Now, if you go in there and it's slammed, there's a lot of people, obviously it's busy. But if there's a massive table, anything more than six people, and they're already sitting, check what's on their table. Have they put their order in yet? Because that's the worst. The worst is when you show up and you're being seated and you see your server taking the orders for a massive table. That means you're not going to get your food for a while. And it's not the server's fault. Here's another thing, though. Servers sometimes blame back-of-house staff. And by sometimes, I mean mostly. Okay, they will blame the kitchen for problems that they created. It's because you don't ever see the back of house staff, usually. Sometimes you get the head chef if you're at a fancy place who'll come around and, talk with people or something. How's everything, whatever. But usually you never run into the back of house staff unless you're ducking out back to smoke a cigarette or something before dessert. You're not going to encounter these people, right? So the servers can say the problem was the kitchen. They messed up your order. It wasn't me. I entered it completely accurately. It was the kitchen that messed it up. And I recognize that that's sort of a good cop, bad cop thing as a client, as a customer. So I don't, but again, like I go in minimum 20%. It's rare. Like I cannot even remember the last time I left less than 20%. That's my minimum because I know most people work for those tips. And if I've got cash, I leave you my cash. I'm not saying you don't have to declare to the IRS. I'm just saying I'm leaving you cash. That's all. Wink, wink. Okay? By the way, did you know that tipping was a long time ago banned in America? Did you know that? It used to be banned. It was seen at the founding of the country, it was seen as bribery. It was viewed as a bribe. And it was considered to be a custom of the old world, of Europe, that they did not want to bring over here because if you know you're not wealthy, then you're not paying for, you're not bribing for better service. And so they rejected the idea. I don't know, somewhere along the line, the Restaurant Association got their hooks into the government, and that's really what that's really why it still persists, this mechanism. It's that the restaurants don't want to have to pay the servers the minimum wage that everybody else has to pay, and so they lobby to get exempt, right? That's why that happens. Now, they could say, like, their margins are very thin, which they are, by the way. The restaurant margins are very, very thin, and that's why they go out of business so often. They rely heavily on alcohol sales. So, or if you're not selling alcohol, then you've got to do a lot of volume. Well, the trade-off there is that you have to raise your menu prices, right? If you pay people the minimum wage, then you got to raise the menu prices. And a lot of customers will refuse to dine out at your restaurant when they can go to another restaurant that doesn't charge them such high menu prices. This is sort of like the ban on smoking in restaurants and bars. Remember that big fight about 20 years ago in North Carolina? They were banning smoking in the bars and restaurants. And some bars and restaurants had already banned smoking, but then they would have to allow it again because they would lose too much business, particularly the bars. Because smokers could just go to a different bar. And so the idea was, like, as a free market capitalist, I would say, well, smokers could go to their bars, and people who don't smoke and don't want to smell like smoke, they would go to other bars. And that is generally what would happen. And then so the ones that had that allowed for the smoking, they were, like, you know, installing the smoke eaters and stuff. And the ones that had banned the smoking, they were not getting a lot of business for it because smokers would not go there. Non-smokers could go to either. Well, banning it for everybody made a, quote, level playing field. Now, I'm not getting into the philosophy behind the law and all. That's been done for 20 years now. And I have to acknowledge, it is nice to leave a bar not smell like smoke. That is nice. That's one of the trade-offs. So this is the same sort of deal where you've got, you know, restaurant employees, some of whom don't make minimum wage. They make the whatever it is, like $3 an hour, and then they live on the tips. That's what that's how they pay their bills. Now, one of the things I sometimes will ask also is whether or not the servers pool their tips. At some restaurants, everybody will put in either all of their tips or a percentage of their tips, and it all gets pooled, and then they divide it out among the whole staff. I'm not a fan of that model because I don't know if my server, who may have been very good, is going to have to pay out a bad server. Right, you're carrying sort of bad servers. Now, that being said, you don't tip fast food servers. They take your order, they give you the food. I mean, if you are, you know, walking in, they got to go around, wipe up the tables and stuff. They got to clean up the place at the end of the night. Now, it's a very limited interaction, to be sure, but we don't feel any need to tip them. So what about taxing the tips? What about that? Former President Donald Trump, at a campaign speech yesterday in Las Vegas, which was very receptive to the idea, he says if he is reelected, he will push to change because he can't do it himself, because I think he's a Republican at this point, and so Republicans are not allowed to rewrite law like that from the executive position. But Democrats still do, I think. They're allowed to do that. But anyway, it's in the Constitution someplace. I forget which article. But the tax code, he says, could be changed, and he would push for it to be changed in order to exempt tip income from federal taxes. So you will not have to pay federal income taxes on your tips. And generally speaking, the way the system operates is that if the feds aren't going to do it, then a lot of states aren't going to do it either. But they might. Some might. I don't know. California, definitely. But I'm just curious what you think of this idea. That if you work for tips, you don't have to declare the cash or the credit card tips as income. What do you think, taxing tips or not? Donald Trump says he's not going to charge taxes on tips, which apparently he thinks the president can do or not do. But anyway, that's his promise. He's making this pitch. Some might say in order to get votes. But this is what he told a crowd in Nevada. And this is a big deal in Nevada because it's a heavy service industry state. And so a lot of people work for tips. And they're very happy to hear that they could make all of that money tax free. Like the people flying signs at the interstate exit ramps, right? They don't pay any taxes on their tips. So why should servers pay taxes on their tips, right? It does make a certain amount of sense. And by the way, Phil Kirpin over at American Commitment, he says this has been a long time proposal from Ron Paul. His argument is that tips are gifts, not wages. That's a crowd pleaser in Nevada. Tips are financial thank you to show appreciation for good service, and it makes sense that they should not be taxed. Right. This is from Jeff, who says, I'm always for lower taxes. No taxes on tips. Sounds good to me. I say one more step of no taxes on bonuses. Yeah, there's another one. Why tax the bonus? Is that a wage? Or is that a gift? It's tough, right? That's tough. And another message here from Dave, who says, Trump's comment on tips is more proof that politicians will say anything for a vote. So here's what he said. So this is the first time I have said this, and for those hotel workers and people that get tips, you're going to be very happy, because when I get to office, we're going to not charge taxes on tips on people making tips. We're not going to do it, and we're going to do that right away. First thing in office, because it's been a point of contention for years and years and years, and you do a great job of service. You take care of people. And I think it's going to be something that is deserved. Like, it's like the student loan forgiveness. So we've just forgiven the student loans for all of the Starbucks baristas, and now they can make all of their income tax-free. He's angling for that youth vote. Now that they got their college debt wiped away, now they can live tax-free on their income. By the way, here's the thing. If you are a really good server, and if you've never had the opportunity to go to like a fine dining establishment, and not that I go to these types of places often, but I have been to a couple. I mean, yes, it was on, you know, stolen credit cards and stuff, but I remember the first time I went to a really fancy schmancy place, it was a work event, and the servers would come around and they had these little plastic boxes. They looked like the size of the old chalkboard erasers, you know, just like a little, I don't know, 8-inch little box. It was like white plastic and it had a brush inside. And they would come over and they would brush the tablecloth and it would pick up all the crumbs from the bread baskets. That's when I knew I was in a fancy place. They would come by. There was the server had a helper. There was like an assistant server. Like the big server, they were like, I'm only here for like appetizers and entrees and desserts. And then like the assistant server would come around, clear stuff away, ask, you know, get you your refills, ask if you needed anything else. Do I need to get the big server here, the boss server person, whatever? Like very, very fancy. Here's the thing though. Really nice restaurants have really good staff. Generally speaking, really good servers. And when you have a really good server, you're like, this is a calling. Like this person knows what they are doing and they are awesome at their job. I wish that for everyone to, not only to have a job that you really love doing and have a calling to do it, but to experience that level of service. And those people, you want to tip really well, I think, because they're really good at their job. Now, they're probably making good money, but that's the thing. You work, if you're good at being a server, you will make a lot of money. And I mean a lot of money. You'll make more than I make on the radio. Like that's, I mean, that's not hard. But no, seriously, like you could, you can make, there might, one of my neighbors, they had a son who was working in a Charlotte restaurant, and this wasn't even like a fine dining kind of establishment, but he was working down in the South Park area, and he made more money than either his dad or I do. And then he quit to go sell cars. I don't know why, but that's what he did. Do you like the idea? No taxation on tips. That is the pitch that Donald Trump is making or made yesterday in Nevada, where a lot of people work for tips. Strip clubs, right? Blackjack dealers, right? Lots of people, and restaurants, of course. This is a longtime Ron Paul proposal. Phil Kirpin pointed this out. Donald Trump said it's going to be something that is deserved. More importantly, popular or unpopular, I do some unpopular things too. If it's right for the country, I do what's right. But so these people, so those people that have jobs in restaurants or whatever the job may be, a tipping job, we're not going after it for taxes anymore. That will be ended. Okay, first off, he can't do that on his own, right? You would need to have Congress change tax law. I know, I'm a bit of a stickler for these things, but that's the process. You got to go through the legislature in order to change the law, okay? You don't want a president to just be able to rewrite stuff like forgiving a whole bunch of debt in order to win people's votes. Like, you don't want, I mean, that's like, that's a tyrant, right? That's like a king, and we don't want that, right? Some people threw a bunch of tea in a harbor in order to get rid of the last king, so I'm not in favor of Donald Trump doing it on his own, even though I like the idea of it getting done. 704-570-1110. What do you think? Taxation on tips. Should the legislature, so let's say Trump wins, he's got a Republican Congress and Senate, right? He's got House and Senate. Is this something then that you would be in support of? All right, let me go to the phones and get first on. John, welcome to the program. Hello, John.
Hey, Pete, happy Monday. Thanks for letting me have a few moments of your time.
Yes, sir.
On taxation of tips. Well, partner, I sit here at 54 years of age, and ever since I had my first job delivering newspapers, wages have always been taxed. And what this has done is really, you know, pulled the blinders back, pulled the curtain back, because it's an interesting perspective. Tips are a gift. And we all know when somebody goes and dies, the IRS makes an exception. Every year that amount goes up a few hundred bucks. You can, if you are a wealthy aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, parent, you can gift to your loved ones so much and the IRS won't tax it. So, yes, a tip is truly a gift. It's me saying thank you to you who have served me, my wife, my family very well. It's a gift.
Right.
Therefore, I actually am so on board not being taxed. As well, we all know growing up or over the years, when I held my first job, a waiter waitress made, I think it was 305 or no, 205 an hour.
Yeah.
When everybody else was maybe at 315 an hour as the minimum wage. So even servers today are far, far under the hourly rate because they make it up in tips.
Right.
But that's just the IRS's way, our government's way, to extort more of our money and squander it on stuff that we can't control.
It's also the way that the restaurant industry gets around paying very low wages to their staff.
Yes. Yes. So I'm all about it. I love the idea, and I've just never, ever thought of it that way. Why? Because over the last 45 years, 40 years, whatever the math, 40 years, it's just, it's what I grew up into, and you can't change it. So it's great that somebody who can change it is willing to change it.
Right. So here's the thing, though. If we go down this path, I'm going to stop tipping.
Well.
Right? I mean, like, okay. Like if they're going to start paying people, and I don't mean that, like, I'm not penalizing people, but if if that means the restaurants now have to pay the minimum wage, then I'm not tipping anymore because I don't tip anybody else except servers, right?
Well, that's a fair point. Yeah, you gift somebody for a service that's well done.
Right.
We do it. Now we do it when
you don't do that for your mechanic, but you don't give your mechanic a tip.
No, we don't. Our mechanic is doing something. Yeah, I mean there's arguments to be made. You know, when somebody comes to our house to service our HVAC, if we have pizza, we feed them. If we have Gatorades, we give them Gatorades.
Sure,
We try to reward them as best as we can, and we know HVAC techs or those types of folks in those service industry jobs, they make some good money. Mike Rowe has told us this.
Yeah.
It's a great industry to make a living. But, I mean, the whole thing would have to be recrafted. But it's a very interesting thing because, yes, a tip is truly a gift.
Yeah. John, I appreciate it. Yeah, what's that? Go ahead.
I was going to say, today, though, we get that dang-gum thing spun around in our face that says 20%. Well, you just gave me a coffee, folks. I'm sorry.
Right.
No.
Right.
So, give me my coffee.
Yeah, no. And well, So in my case, I generally round up. I appreciate the call, John. No, I see. Here's the thing. I'm in a little bit of a different position because I don't ever want people to recognize my name and then go onto social media and say, Pete Callender's not a good tipper. Because I know that's not true. So I don't want there to be any doubt. So I even tip those people. Right. Tony, welcome to the program. Hello, Tony. Tony.
Tony.
All right. You had your moment. Mary, welcome to the program. Hey, Mary.
Thank you very much. I have a question. You were touching on the topic of student loans. I have a relative who got a loan from Bank of America to put new windows in, and it became one of those subprime loans or whatever that was forgiven, and he had to pay income tax on it as though it was income. These people who have the student loans forgiven, is it going to be counted as income and tax now?
I believe it was. Yes, I believe so.
Okay, well, you've answered my question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that was one of the, because people were complaining about it. Oh my gosh, I got this loan forgiven, and I got all these funds that now I don't have to pay, but it's income. It's like, and I know this because I got into credit card debt when I was in college and worked to pay it all off. But one of the things that you do is you cut deals with the collection agencies, and they will take a settlement with you for like pennies on the dollar. Not even. It's like if you owed, I want to say it was like I owed one card, like, I think it was like $2,000. And most of that was penalties and interest, right? I didn't spend all of that. Like, so they cut a deal with me for like $1,000. So I'd saved up a bunch of money and I then paid it all. I paid the $1,000 and I got taxed for the difference that they, quote, forgave. I had to pay income tax because the IRS counts that as income. Even though I didn't get anything for that, I understand. Like I paid for something. I took a loan out. I paid for that thing, and you know, now I've got something of value. I got money or whatever. Like I took a cash advance or whatever, and then I got it forgiven, and I got something of value. But in this case, I didn't. For the credit cards, it was all taxes and interest. So I got taxed on fees and interest and penalties. You know, being overdrawn, over the limit, late fees, all of that stuff. I didn't get any value for that. Yeah, I was not happy. That's why I know firsthand that's how that goes.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
All right. We're talking about taxing the tips. Tony, welcome to the program.
Yes.
All right, I can hear you now, Tony.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You got a great show, man. I love
Thank you, sir.
About this, this has been back and forth for years. And the problem I have with this is that Mr. Magoo can go out there and get rid of all the student loan without going through Congress, which he's supposed to do, and even overrode the Supreme Court. So how can he get away with that crap? And he didn't go through Congress, which he's supposed to do.
Right. So so you're saying it's fine then for Trump to do it also?
Well, as long as he goes through the proper procedure, I would imagine, yes.
Okay, right. So if Trump wants this to be done, then yeah, run it through Congress and pass the law. And this is sort of the other problem.
Correct.
Right. Is that if Trump were to
Biden
do it.
Biden just goes ahead
and
he gets rid of all the student loan. And he was supposed to go through Congress, which he didn't.
Right. But Tony,
then
that's.
He put it through twice and Supreme Court shut him down twice.
Right. Well, it's different when Democrats do it, Tony. That's the rule.
Oh, that's how it works. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's always different.
We got two sets of rules.
Right. Right. It's the different when Democrats do it provision in the U.S. Constitution. They wrote it in there long time.
I think it was even. You
know? That's right. Okay. Tony, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks to you for making it. There is an unintended consequence, though. John says in an email to Pete at the Pete Callender Show, one potential unintended consequence here. Getting rid of the taxation on tips, servers that no longer claim tips on their taxes or have a difficult time proving their annual wage when they're trying to take out a loan or a home mortgage, right? You're actually making way more than on paper than the IRS is taxing you at. So, like, because I could see restaurants, if the restaurants are not forced to raise all the menu prices in order to pay for a minimum wage that is in line with every other line of work, right? If the minimum wage for everybody else besides service industry employees, that all now raises up to the $15 an hour minimum wage, whatever it is, or I guess the federal, I forget what the federal wage is, it's lower. But a lot of states have gone to $15, right? So if you're going to raise everything to $15, all the prices come up, people will still make some tips, I assume. Some people will continue to tip in the restaurants. They will not, the servers, if they go to try, you know, they're making, let's say, on paper, they're making $60,000 a year, but they're actually pulling in $80,000. Well, they could not qualify for a loan for $80,000. Now, that being said, you just put a whole bunch of cash down as a down payment, right? And then you just have to save up. So that might be a way around that. But that's interesting. That would be a downside. A lot of strippers will be rich. Yes, Michael, that is probably the case. GJM says, no tax on tips is a classic Trumpian move. Vote buying effort. Trump's standard operating procedure is to say whatever he thinks the crowd in front of him wants to hear. An eternal chameleon. Right. So a politician. Right. Biden's vote-buying college loan forgiveness is exempt. What? Borrowers working towards loan forgiveness have been exempt from taxes thanks to the American Rescue Plan. This measure made forgiven. Wait a minute, Mary, I was wrong. This measure made forgiven student loans exempt from federal income taxes, but it only applies to loans that are discharged between January 1, 2021 and December 31, 2025. The American Rescue Plan applies to all student loan forgiveness programs, but only affects federal income taxes. Oh, that's what it was. So state income taxes, you still do have to pay. Although some states adopted similar measures for state income taxes, not all of them followed suit. I didn't think it was possible to hate Joe Biden more, but now I do. Oh, my gosh. By the way, a server in Charlotte is fired after she shot a video of a diner. It wasn't her customer, but a guy came in and had lunch, and he had a blow-up doll as his guest at the table over Memorial Day weekend. And she says, I'm not supposed to be making TikToks at work, but this calls for it. And then she shoots video of this blow-up doll and the guy sitting at the table or whatever. And it wasn't her customer. The video shows, you know, from a distance, But the guy later commented on her video saying, quote, I lost my fantasy football league, man. What, do you know this person?
What? No, but for years and years, we'd been trying to get the person who lost our inaugural fantasy football league. We were going to have them do this exact thing at our local cookout. And
do you know a person named Papi Chulo 2613?
Oh, my! Yeah, he's my best friend. No, I don't.
Okay, well, that's the diner's name. That's what he goes by, at least on the TikTok. And he said in the comment that he took this doll to the restaurant for losing his fantasy football league. That was the penalty. The server, Tara Eve Bjork, posted the video, and it got 2.5 million views on TikTok. And she told the Charlotte Observer she knew one of two things was going to happen. It would get no views and I would be fine, or it would blow up and I would be fired. And the latter is what occurred. she got fired for that. Well, I mean, you got a rule, no TikToks. I mean, that's like, you're a server in a restaurant. You should not be shooting video of diners. What if that was his emotional support blow-up doll? You don't know that, right? You don't know. Maybe he had a note from his doctor. Okay, yeah. Not like a service doll. It's not a service doll. Though that's a higher standard, right? This is just emotional support dolls, and you don't even get you get a note from the doctor, but it's not even like a recognized thing, you know? And you're not supposed to touch the doll if it's working, okay? You got to leave it alone. Just pretend it's not even there. Come on, people.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.